everybody, and welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode number 105. I'm your host, Dr. Venkman, and today we have joining us on our panel, Mazer. How are you, Mazer?
I'm good. I've been eating way too much tapioca pudding. I don't know why. I went through like three in one morning, and then I ate three more at night, and then I ate more the next day. So
when you say you went through three,
yeah, you know those packet, those little.
Okay, like, I was gonna say, are you eating homemade tapioca, or are you like eating the Jell-O snack pack?
The snack stuff? Pack, you know, tapioca
but
pudding
you've been
shots,
three
you know.
Snack packs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why.
You know, it's been a long time since I've had tapioca pudding. I think the last time I had it. Abe Froman made it for me.
He adds extra gels. That's what makes it awesome.
Well, he does make the best tapioca. Ben P is also joining us, I think.
Yes,
Ben?
Sir.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
You know what my favorite thing is? Somebody who's never listened to this podcast before because they think that it's a tapioca podcast.
This is a tapioca podcast. We're going to have a tapioca Oscar party.
Nice.
Well, they're our biggest sponsor, so.
They are.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. And Tiberius is joining us as well. Hello.
I am not a fan of tapioca. Hello. No tapioca eating by me.
You would be a fan of tapioca if you've had it done right. Because honestly, I wasn't a big fan of tapioca pudding until a friend of mine, so I mentioned earlier, Abe Froman made it for me, and then all of a sudden I was hooked on tapioca. But I can't eat the packaged stuff.
Yeah, it's really different.
It's, you know, it's got to be that homemade stuff, and I've tried to do it myself. And it ain't working. So
it's like the difference between a frozen pizza and fresh pizza. Mm. Like
Roman just needs to get back so he can make me some tapioca pudding. Anyway.
I've never tried homemade tapioca. Anyway,
that's enough tapioca talk on this entire podcast. I'm just quickly gonna go through the top five of the box office, and then we're gonna quickly do a couple reviews on some movies that we saw. Then we're going to go into Connect 3 and then talk about the Oscars, because the Oscars are this weekend and we are going to announce the winners before they are announced for real. That's how we're going to roll it. So real quick, top five. Liam Neeson's movie Unknown came in at $25.4 million. Number two, Romeo and Juliet. Came in at $25.4 million. It's like they were literally like a few hundred thousand, few thousand dollars in between each one. So close call there. Number three, I Am Number Four, $22.7 million. Number four, Just Go With It, at $21.5 million. And number five, Big Mamas Like Father Like Son, $18.7 million. So there you have it. Top five. Now that we've done that, let's get into some Connect 3. Ben has prepared.
Yes, I've got I've just got three of us, fittingly, with the title.
That's fine.
Us today. So, let's just go ahead and get into it. I guess just for people who've never listened before, I'm just going to name three movie-related things, and then the other guys on the panel have to pick out the connection. So here we go with the first one. Warren Beatty, Oliver Stone, Brian De Palma.
Dick Tracy.
Incorrect.
Of course
but,
it is.
But that is a key factor in the real answer. So there's a hint for you.
Interesting. All right.
Warren Beatty, Oliver Stone, Brian De Palma.
Madonna.
Al Pacino?
Al Pacino is correct, Mazer. Nicely done. Yes.
Wow. Good job on that one.
Yes.
Bravo.
All right. So
Bravo.
This one is going to be a little bit more difficult, I think. So get ready. Here we go. Chet Stedman, Henry Rowengardner, Phil Brickma.
What the?
Okay, so these are character names.
Yes.
Are you reading people out of the phone book? I mean, honestly.
Interesting.
Chet Stedman, Henry Rowengardner, Phil Brickma.
Good grief. I am completely stumped.
That Chet name sounds familiar.
Chet?
Yeah.
Chet.
I'll give you a hint.
The Great Outdoors?
Chet, quote unquote, Rocket Stedman.
Man, you really turned the tables, didn't you?
I know. Chet Stedman. This is a movie that came out in, let me give you the year really quickly, 1993. Chet Rocket Stedman, Henry Gardner, and Phil Brickma. I'll give you another hint. The character of Phil Brickma is played by Daniel Stern. The character of Chet Stedman is played by Gary Busey.
What the hell?
And the character of Henry Rowengardner is played by Thomas Ian Nicholas. And I don't know what else to do with you guys if you can't get it from that.
All right, what's the genre?
It's a family movie.
Comedy.
Baseball involved pretty heavily.
Angels in the Outfield?
Very close.
Oh, Christ.
Daniel Stern.
Gary Busey. Henry Rowengardner. Come on, guys. No, really? Maybe this is after your time. I guess I'm a little bit younger than you guys, so maybe I misjudged this. I'm just going to have to tell you what it is. What's that?
I think the answer is yes, Ben. You did.
All right. Well, the answer is Rookie of the Year.
Good Lord, man.
Oh, my.
I don't know if you guys...
Dude, that would have never popped in my mind.
Yeah, have you guys ever seen Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, I've seen Rookie of the Year.
I've seen it once.
Really?
So, I've never seen it.
Okay, my apologies. I watched that movie all the freaking time when I was a kid. I just assumed that everyone else did as well. So
I've seen it a few times, but I could not connect the line on those actors.
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't either. But all you right. know, you never. I mean, our listeners, you know, may have.
Yeah. You know,
there was like a Rookie of the Year fan,
and they're calling us idiots because we can't figure it out. So.
Or just somebody who's closer to my age instead of y'all's age, probably. But
did you say y'all's age?
I did. Yeah, regrettably.
That's awesome.
Sorry, it's the Southern coming out in me. But let's move on to the third and final one real quickly. All right, here we go. This one is arguably even more difficult if you can imagine.
Great.
I know. You might know it though. All right, here we go. The Rundown, Pool Hall Junkies, and this is the part that's going to throw you off, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Fudge. I've seen all of those movies.
What is the link?
Pool Hall Junkies. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
This guy, the person that the actor that is the connection, plays a very minor role in all three of these. I'll also throw in, we'll make this a Connect Four in this case, Surf Ninjas.
Oh jeez, I don't even know anybody who's in Surf Ninjas.
Mazer, this ringing any bells for you?
Yeah.
Surf Ninjas is like a huge one. This kid was the main person in Surf Ninjas.
Oh, Ernie Reyes?
Yeah, exactly. Yes,
okay.
Ernie Reyes Jr. Yep.
He was in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I know. I didn't know that either until I was looking him up for this thing, and apparently he played like one of the warlords or something like that. A cemetery warrior, IMDb says.
Okay. Yeah, he's pretty. He's pretty lean in The Rundown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he's an extra in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Basically, yeah. I mean, maybe
okay.
just more than a glorified extra. But I figured Pool Hall Junkies, yeah. He plays like a major, like kind of a minor character, and then the Rundown, yeah, he's a little bit more fringe character, but you know.
All right.
Well, yeah,
I think we can
categorize this particular Connect 3 as like a just a disaster on every level. So let's move on from here.
Yeah.
We've got to have
a point of Connect
every now and then.
That's true, but is the point of Connect 3 to make us all look like morons?
Not intentionally, Tiberius, not intentionally.
No.
If it does, it succeeded in this episode.
Yep.
Yes.
Congratulations, Ben. You made us all look like idiots.
I just went too obscure. We'll fix that next time around.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We had fun. It's all good. Because we rarely get stuff like that. So, rock on. So, let's move on to some movie reviews, shall we? Who saw Unknown this weekend?
I did.
I did as well.
I did not.
I did not.
All right.
You are Dr. Martin Harris?
Last time I looked.
Is this some kind of a joke?
You know this man?
No.
Please!
Get him out of here.
Please! Please!
There are no rules with severe trauma of this kind. Memories get lost or fractured.
I'm not crazy. Somewhere there's proof I'm me. I was in your taxi. We crashed.
So, Ben and Tiberius, why don't you give us the rundown? What did you think?
Tiberius, let's go with you first. What did you think?
Fair enough. I went into this, you know, actually very excited to see it. And I left very happy with what I'd seen. I really enjoyed this movie on a number of different levels. It was more than just an action thriller suspense. It had some interesting character development, and overall, I thought it was a really fun movie. And, you know, it definitely is deserving of the money that it made over the weekend. And, I really cannot, this is my favorite movie I saw over the weekend. One of the things that I want to point out, though, it really had a strong feeling. It made me think of a movie by Roman Polanski named called Frantic. In a lot of aspects of it. So I think, I don't know, I really recommend people see it. It was good.
All right.
Nice. Yeah, I had almost no expectations of this. The marketing obviously is trying to capitalize on the success of Taken, which was Liam Neeson's kind of surprise hit back in 2008. And this movie is not Taken, not even close. It's a totally different style of film. Taken is much more of a like a straight ahead action movie where he just roams around viciously kicking ass and being awesome.
Better than Taken?
It depends on what your definition of better is. For me, no, because I enjoyed Taken to that as that kind of a movie.
Yeah, Unknown, because that's how they're marketing it. You know, better than Taken.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't think. I mean, maybe you could say that it's a bit more legitimate than Taken, if you want to put it that way.
Okay.
If your definition of better equals more legitimate, then yes, I think that's probably an accurate statement. But I think Unknown is just, yeah, maybe a little bit more of a legitimate film. It's more of a drama than an action movie. There's not much action in it. There's a couple really awesome car chases and stuff right in the middle, a couple good set pieces there. But there's really not a lot of – this is not a movie where Liam Neeson roams around kicking ass. This is a movie where Liam Neeson kind of stumbles around and really is trying to figure out what's going on and like assess his surroundings and kind of get his head in the right spot and realize what this kind of conspiracy is. And Tiberius brings up that movie called Frantic, which is a fantastic comparison because that's exactly what I was thinking of when I saw it too, because I actually saw Frantic for the first time just a few months ago. So that movie is relatively fresh in my head. And the similarities are just like right there. I mean, if you've seen Frantic, then you'll absolutely see, huge shades of that in Unknown.
Yep.
So, with all of that being said, I didn't love the movie, but I thought it was perfectly fine. I thought it was just a good, solid movie. I would recommend people go see it if you're looking for, you know, a good drama with decent performances and stuff like that. And it's got a little, you know, some kind of twists and turns and stuff with the plot. This is what the definition of a good movie should be, instead of some of the garbage that we've been getting over the past year. And people saying, oh yeah, that was good. Like, yeah. You know, like the problem with people doing that for movies that actually aren't good is it lowers society's bar as a whole of what actually is a good movie. And that means that studios stop producing movies of high quality. So if Unknown like equals a good movie, then I think we're in good shape.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have really no expectations for it either, but I've been hearing a lot of good things, so I'm going to try and check it out sometime soon. But I did go out and see I Am Number 4 this weekend. Did anybody else catch that one?
Yeah, I saw it as well.
Okay. I did not see that one.
Okay.
Yeah, I skipped that.
All right, well, you didn't miss much.
There were 9 of us who escaped. Number 1 was killed in Malaysia. Number 2 was murdered in England. Number 3 was hunted down in Kenya. Before they come for the others, they'll come for me. I am Number 4.
It was a fun movie. It had its moments. It was, you know, it had its fun, action-packed scenes in it where you're just kind of like, oh, okay, that was cool, you know, how they did that. But other than those little, like, nuggets of excitement and action, the movie as a whole was fairly weak, I guess. The story was what it was. It wasn't really incredibly interesting. The script and the dialogue and stuff was, you know, I Am Number 4 was like amateur hour, I think. It's one of those movies that you would make a good TV show on the CW, like after Smallville or something.
Yeah.
That's kind of how, you know, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't like I really needed to see it. You know, it wasn't like I needed to see it type thing. It's just, yeah, I was bored one night and thought, hey, I'm going to go see I Am Number 4. So I did, and it was lackluster. DJ Caruso is the guy that directed it. He did Disturbia and Eagle Eye and... Yeah, I don't think I don't know. He's kind of like, I like Disturbia. Eagle Eye was like okay, but it kind of lost me. And I Am Number 4 is definitely not his best movie, so he's kind of on this downward spiral, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I can't really recommend it. Something you could, you know, watch on Blu-ray or something and be satisfied with what you see. But you definitely don't need to go out and see it in theaters. What'd you think, Tiberius?
Well, I give it a little bit more credit than what you did. I really think I agree with you. It's not one you need to see in theaters. Or forget seeing it in IMAX like they've been, you know, pumping up that it's in IMAX.
I know.
Never mind that. Just forget that right there. This is a perfect rental on Blu-ray. That's definitely the best way to go about it. But to be honest with you, I look at it this way. It's a setup for future films, because this is going to be more than just the one film. Despite what it's done at the box office, I have a feeling that this is just going to – they're still going to make the second – and it's a series. And, you know, I think they're going to really play it for all it's worth. And I know that sounds crappy to some, but to be honest with you, the action sequences at the end of the film really did mount up and the way it was ended really leaves you a lot of great possibility for the future. So,
oh, yeah, I can definitely see it was a setup film, and I can definitely see better movies coming out of it. But
yeah,
I don't know. It just it had some weak points in it, but like you said about, you know, with the action and stuff, the action was great. I mean, when there was an action sequence, it flowed pretty well. It was just the way the story was told and the way it was, I guess, set up, and a lot of the actors and stuff that were in it were just very lackluster, I guess. They were just kind of like bland, you know?
I am not so hold on now. Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, like, nothing within the script or story really, like, shot out at me, or, you know, it was just more of these cool action sequences that looked, you know, fun up on screen.
Well said. I'm not sold on Alex Pettifer as a leading man yet, so.
Oh, definitely,
you know,
not. I was like, I think DreamWorks is really, like, excited about this guy, and they're, like, trying to, like, you know, build him up to be like this next big star, but I'm looking at him in this movie and I'm like, I don't know what they see, but whatever.
I think they're focusing on good looks more than, I mean, you know,
well, that's on looks Hollywood, more than Hollywood than, focuses more on good looks than they do acting these days. So what can you do?
Although it seems rare that there is a guy that they do that with. There seem to be so many talented actors who are just happen to be good looking that they don't really have to do that.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, like I said, I didn't see the movie, but P. Vader did go see it, and he was telling me a little bit about it. And he interestingly kind of mirrors both of your opinions in that he Venkman, you mentioned that it kind of, to you, felt like it belonged on the CW, and I believe this movie was written by Alfred Goh and Miles Miller, who are the creative team behind Smallville.
Boom. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And
I thought we said that in an earlier podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's what P. Vader was saying, is that, like, this movie to him felt kind of like Twilight meets Smallville, you know, like with those kinds of production values and stuff. And it's not like it's not the greatest story being told, but at the same time, he also kind of mirrored Tiberius's sentiments, saying that he went into the movie not really like. He didn't want to hate it, but he didn't think he was going to like it. And then he was saying at the very end, by the end of the movie, he had kind of gotten into it a little bit, like even surprising to him, like surprised himself how much he was actually starting to like it because of how well the action started to, or how well the buildup kind of paid off at the very end, and how well it did in setting up for future sequels and stuff. And he was actually talking about being kind of excited for, you know, potentially seeing another one if they decide to make it. So I just wanted to weigh in on his behalf.
Sure. No, when I walked out of it, I wasn't disappointed in the movie by all means, because I was entertained. It just, it's not the best movie of the year.
It would have been better if they cut to the end and extended it.
You know, that's a good point. I don't know. I think they could have cut at least 30 minutes off of the beginning and well, not the beginning, but the middle portion. Some of the stuff just was useless. But
it'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, because Caruso is now officially attached to direct Preacher, do the comic book adaptation of Preacher. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, where he takes that from here. He's got to do something a little bit more. And, you know, the studio's looking to do Preacher, like a rated R movie. They want to make it a franchise. So it'd be interesting to see how he, you know, does on his next film. But his movies just seem to kind of be getting progressively worse.
Yeah.
As I've seen anyway.
I think you're right. And I've got kind of a bad feeling about Preacher, because I don't know if you guys have read the series or not, but it's like one of my favorite comic stories of all time. And it's like, I don't think they should make it into a movie. And then DJ Caruso, like, I think he would have been okay for the Why the Last Man adaptation that he's been attached to for the last, what, 3 or 4, maybe even 5 years at this point. But since that fell through, moving on to Preacher, like, just listen, Venkman, to what you just said. A studio wants to make Preacher into a franchise. Like, there's something that just kind of makes my spine tingle at hearing that. Like, I don't think that they're going to do it right.
Oh, I don't think they are either. I mean, if you look at Crusoe's movies so far, I mean, look at the kind of cast that he does. And, look at, you know, it's all like this young, savvy, you know, hip type casting. His films are pretty, they're shot fairly clean, you know, they got these really nice clean cinematography look to it.
Mm-hmm.
The Preacher is like, you know, it's dark and it's gritty, and it'll be interesting to see what he does, because he hasn't shown anything in his previous films that he can take a material like this and turn it into what it's supposed to be or what fans are expecting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the only thing that even comes remotely close is a movie that he directed called The Salton Sea with Val Kilmer, and I liked that movie.
That was good.
But it had a little bit more of, you know, had like some drug use and stuff like that. So it was definitely like a more kind of dark subject matter than the kind of family friendly stuff he's been working with since Disturbia. But Preacher is just so freaking dark. Like, I don't know if he's the best fit. But anyway, I mean, we can argue that all day.
Yeah. So anyway, I am number four, Rental. So there you go. Now we're going to get into some Oscar talk. The Oscars are this weekend. We're just kind of going to go through and just talk about what we think's going to win. I honestly, guys, I think that this is like going to be the easiest year to predict Oscar winners. I don't know if you feel the same way, but there are certain movies and actors and stuff that just seem to be a shoo-in to win.
I agree with you.
I don't know. It's and they've changed up the Oscars this year. They're doing this whole new type of format on how they're going to portray it and give the awards out and stuff. So it'll be interesting altogether to see how this turns out. But real quick, let's just kind of go through some of these nominations and everyone can just weigh in on what they think, and we'll go from there. First of all, did Tron Legacy came out last year, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, I was just thinking about this, and as I'm sitting here looking at what's nominated for visual effects and art direction, Tron Legacy is not nominated at all.
You're right. That's a travesty. Tron Legacy was
the best effects I've seen all year.
It was up there.
And Iron Man 2 is? I mean, come on.
I mean, you got Iron Man 2, you got Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, but there wasn't a lot of, you know, special effects done in that. Hereafter.
What the hell?
I'm like looking at these and I'm going, wait a second. Tron Legacy beat lost to Alice in Wonderland, Harry Potter, Hereafter, and Iron Man 2 and didn't make the cut? That doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
But anyway, if it was nominated, I'd say it would win. But it's not. So I have no idea. In any of these categories, I'm just kind of shocked that Tron Legacy isn't even on there.
Yeah, well, so, for the visual effects, I mean, the one that kind of stands out to me, I think, and since we've talked about that, or you already brought up that category, I'll just go ahead and say which one I think is going to win, which is Inception, just because, like, if nothing else, that
huge.
The rotating hallway scene, like, that should win it right there.
You're absolutely right. That is probably one of the coolest scenes I've seen in years, is that hallway fight scene. So yeah, I'm definitely on board with Inception. I can go with that.
Yeah.
That's what I had picked on my list of my selection. So
hopefully it gets nominated.
Yeah. And I just assume that art direction, Inception as well, because there was just so much into that with the architecture and everything. they had to put together for that. That I don't know. I think Inception has the potential to win both of those.
Let's do some of the acting. Actually, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Tiberius.
I was going to say that I think that I know this might be a year that King's Speech sweeps every award that it's up for just about. And I think it might take art direction this year.
Did you – I'm just curious. There was something that popped up on the net recently that did a side-by-side comparison of the set of a English porno and the set of the King's Speech, where they're exactly the same. It's like exactly the same. Like they filmed in the exact same place as this as this porno. I thought that was pretty interesting. I couldn't help but laugh at that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny as well.
And the photos.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm just saying it's really got a lot of attention to detail. That's the only reason. I mean, not to say that the other Inception doesn't either, believe me, but I really think for a period piece, it has to have attention to detail. And I don't know. I guess I'm all up on it, on the King's Speech. I don't know.
Well, let's move into some let's move in and talk about the actress in a supporting role. Who do you think's going to take it?
Mazur, what do you think?
It's going to be someone from The Fighter, and it'll be either of them. I just feel like I don't know. Really depends. I mean, seeing what we saw out of SAG and my brain's emptying out.
Golden Globes.
Out of the Golden Globes.
Melissa Leo has been kind of taking all the awards. I don't think Amy Adams will take it. I would love to see Haley Steinfeld from True Grit, the girl that was in that, take it, because I think she was awesome in that movie, the best one, you know, one of the best parts of it. And I honestly would love to see her take the award in that category, but I think it's going to end up going to Melissa Leo.
Yeah.
I think I mirror your sentiments exactly, Venkman. I think if we were in a year that Natalie Portman was not nominated for Best Actress for Black Swan, and if Hailee Steinfeld from True Grit were nominated for Best Actress, then maybe she would have a good shot at that award.
You know what's weird is they put Hailee Steinfeld in this Best Supporting role, but she was the main character in that movie.
Yeah, I definitely think
she... the movie revolved around her character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the Academy does stuff like that, it doesn't make sense. It's like, oh, let's just give it here because maybe she'll have a better chance of winning. I don't know what their rationalization is, but
that is the rationalization.
There you go. Okay. All right then. There you have it. I don't know. Sometimes the Academy just kind of drives me nuts on some of their nominations and where they place.
People. Well, it's not necessarily them. It's like you contribute your actors for certain categories. So
yeah, and the other
the
other one is Christian Bale as Best Supporting for The Fighter. When he should be nominated for Best Actor. No,
that one's a little bit more cut and dried than the True Grit scenario, I think.
Okay.
I think. Well, yeah, I mean, since you already brought that one up, is there anybody here who doesn't think that Christian Bale is going to win for Best Supporting?
He's locked. There's
he's a lock.
Yeah, he's a lock.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that. I mean, anytime Christian Bale goes through one of these kinds of massive physical transformations, it's just so impressive. Like, the guy is such a solid actor. And I, you know, right after I saw the King's Speech, I was like, Jeffrey Rush might have a pretty decent opportunity to kind of upset that and take that away from him. But I think the King's Speech, as Tiberius alluded to earlier, is probably going to win so much there that Christian Bale is definitely going to win for Best Supporting. So I think we're probably pretty safe in that assumption.
Yeah, definitely. as far as an actress in a leading role, Natalie Portman, hands down. I think she's a lock. There's a lot of people out there saying that, you know, the Academy might not vote for her because, you know, it was a risque role and stuff like that. But
because they
can't deny that performance.
Yeah, because roles like Monsters Ball, you know, very conservative roles for actresses, works out terribly for them. Monsters, well.
Yep.
You know, anything with the Holocaust, don't touch it because you might not get the Oscar.
Yeah, I think Natalie Portman's a lock for it. I mean, for me, I want her to win, and I think she'll win. In my opinion, it's one of the best performances. It's on my top, you know, on my top list of best performances ever.
Yeah, I remember you saying that when we talked about the movie. You were like huge, huge supporter of that performance, saying that, yeah, it was like one of your favorite of all time.
Yeah, so if she doesn't win, someone got paid.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, everyone did it, you know. I love Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone, and all year I was rooting for her, you know, taking a nomination, possibly winning, but after I seen the performance of Natalie Portman, I'm like, sorry, Jennifer.
Yeah.
You lost out to Natalie, so. But it's an honor to be nominated, right, guys?
I don't know why when you were saying that, I just imagined you at a cafe just, like, sitting down with her and just telling her that, like, I'm sorry, but, yeah.
It's an honor to be nominated.
You know, I don't know. What do you think? Natalie Portman a lock? Is everybody on board with that, or do you guys think that possibly someone else has a chance of winning?
I think there might be an upset there. I think she's a lock, but I can if there's one category that I could see there being an upset this year, that would be the category. And really? I'm not saying that because I'm not saying because I want that. I'm just saying
you want it, man. You want it.
No.
I'm just joking. If there is an upset, who do you think will win? If there's an upset, who would take it?
See, that's the thing. The upset. Whenever there's an upset, there's going to be something completely off the wall I definitely think that Jennifer Lawrence could be a dark. You know, you never know.
Is Annette Bening up for that role or up for that award as well?
Yeah, she is for The Kids Are
That's
All
a good
Right.
point.
Yeah, I mean, if Natalie Portman doesn't win, I think they're definitely not going to pick Jennifer Lawrence just because it's her kind of big, you know, breakout thing. I think they'll go with somebody who's a little bit more seasoned, like more of a veteran with Annette Bening. But yeah, I think we all can agree that would just be a travesty if that happens.
So it'd be like Natalie Portman, you're the new Annette Bening. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Basically. Yeah. Okay. All right.
You know, a role like Black Swan, like Nina in Black Swan, just does not come along very often. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. That is like an actress's dream to play True. Something like that. So, I don't know. We'll see. What do you guys think about Best Actor? What are you thinking? Does Colin Firth have it locked? Or is Jesse Eisenberg coming in to take it away? No. Colin Firth?
Colin Firth, done.
Yeah. Hands down.
All right. You didn't think Javier Bardem's going to take it?
No.
I hope not.
Not a chance.
Yeah, I think Colin Firth has been winning everything, and that performance in The King's Speech was absolutely incredible. I'd like to see Jesse Eisenberg win, but I don't think he will. I think Colin Firth's going to take it.
Yeah, Eisenberg's got a lot of years left in him. He'll be fine.
He does. And he's got a lot of great roles ahead of him too. Maybe. And we'll see. Zombieland 2.
As a result of The Social Network, he's going to have even more meatier roles coming his way. So I mean, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Sorry, I always do that.
Been watching a lot of mob movies lately, have we?
My wife and her entire family are Italian. And So, yeah. I watched that a lot.
That's great.
All right. As for best directing, what do you think, everybody? Is Fincher a lock?
Yes. You think,
yes?
Fincher's it.
Yeah, I think so. This is the part where I just really get disheartened because I wish beyond all wishes that Chris Nolan had been nominated here. And I was just going to
bring that up. I have no idea why he's not nominated for this.
I just don't think the Academy likes Christopher Nolan very much. Like, I don't know what any other way, like how we can perceive that in any other way, because I don't think he got any love for The Dark Knight, and that was like a phenomenal film, arguably the best of 2008.
It's one of those things where it's politics. Obviously, he pissed someone off in the Academy, and they don't want him on there.
But I mean, I'm not like pretending to be an expert of how the voting system works and all that stuff. But I feel like I feel like there can't be that much power. I feel like it's got to be a little bit more evenly dispersed than that. And I think
he pissed off a lot of people.
Yeah, that might be it. But probably more likely is that the Academy, voters are just so much older, and they just don't. I don't know. They're just not connecting with Chris Nolan's films like the way that we are.
I think Darren Aronofsky belongs on the list for Black Swan.
Oh,
David O. Russell, The Fighter. Yeah, it was a good film, but I honestly don't. Nolan could easily take his spot as a best director for that. Tom Hooper for The King's Speech. Yes, he made a great movie with some great actors, but best directing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another spot that Nolan could have taken.
Mm-hmm.
And then True Grit. Honestly, I like True Grit, but whenever Joel and Ethan Coen make a movie, the Academy just automatically gives them a nomination. So it's like they'll be nominated every year they make a movie, right?
Every time they make like a serious movie that's not Burn After Reading or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I like True Grit, and I think they did a great job. At the same time, I mean, that was it was a remake, and it was still pretty freaking close to the original film, mm-hmm. you know? So to me, it was like, yeah, they made a good Western, but I that's another spot that Chris Nolan could have taken over. I mean, Chris Nolan got robbed out of best directing. It's unfortunate.
So Nolan is the new Scorsese.
Nolan is the new Scorsese.
This is something that, and I might have even said this on this podcast before, so forgive me if I have. I'll just make it really quick. I think the thing about best director, if any other category, best director should be representative of awarding people who the only people in the world who could have made that movie made that movie. So Darren Aronofsky, Black Swan, nobody else could have made that except for him. Chris Nolan, Inception, nobody else could have made that except for him. Even last year, like one of my biggest disappointments, I mean, I had my issues with Avatar, but I can't believe still to this day that Kathryn Bigelow won Best Director for The Hurt Locker over James freaking Cameron for Avatar, because nobody else in the world could have made Avatar. Like that's, to me, that's what the best director.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm totally serious.
You make a great point. You bring up a very good point. I agree.
I mean, Tiberius, are you more on the Catherine Bigelow bandwagon?
No, I just don't like James Cameron.
Well, I mean, I understand that, and I think that's a valid point, but I just think like, what? Go ahead.
I'm just saying. I think James Cameron is a pompous ass.
But I happen to agree with you, especially on that particular point. But I think you have to look at, like, best director is not best film. Like, it's not the best picture of the year. That's not what it's awarding. It's the best director. It's somebody who has pulled off an accomplishment and put, you know, has kind of come to this place in the world where all these pieces align and all this stuff happens to make this particular movie. And for Avatar, I mean, I know that we're getting way off topic here, but I don't think anybody else, that movie's been in development for what, 10, 15 years, whatever it was, like, he pioneered all this technology. I just can't fathom how he didn't get Best Director there. And the same thing goes for Inception this year, where it's like that movie has been rolling around Chris Nolan's head for, I think, 16 years or something. And the way that he was able to pull such a kind of a complex idea into all these different layers, fill it with one of the best casts ever assembled in any movie, I think, and be able to market it as a big blockbuster where it made, I don't know how much, $800 million or however much it made, as well as being like a really smart studio film. I don't understand how an accomplishment like that is not rewarded by the Academy. But that's the end of my rant. Sorry.
It's all good. Well, at least it's nominated for Best Picture.
That's true.
But it won't win.
No, not at all. But it's an honor just to be nominated.
It's an honor just to be nominated. Best Picture, I think there's two movies that are in contention with each other. King's Speech and The Social Network.
Yeah, it's going to be a close race. It really
is. I think
it's
going to be a close race, but I think The Social Network's going to take it.
Really? I think the King's Speech is going to take.
All right. We've got a
we'll see.
What do you think, Ben?
I'm going to go Dark Horse and say Black Swan is going to upset.
Wow. Interesting.
I would actually say the same thing. It feels like Social Network is so marketed for that, and the King's Speech is built for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Black Swan is high art.
Yep.
Which is different than those two things. And I think,
you know, my favorite movie of the year is Black Swan.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that movie. And I would love it to win, but I don't if it pulls up an upset, I will be happy if it wins.
We've had major upsets for that. We had some things where it was like, oh, maybe it was this way or that way, but I mean, we did have, you know, Crash over Brokeback Mountain.
Yep.
So, I mean, it is not as predictable as we would think, especially for Best Picture.
Yeah, I think, Mazer, you bring up a great point. I think that is, especially with that Crash and Brokeback Mountain thing, I think that's the reason that Social Network might not win, and that is that everybody, ever since that Crash Brokeback Mountain upset, has been talking about how big of a mistake that was, and that Crash was such the movie of the moment and the movie of the time, and like that's how it encapsulated all that stuff. So I think 5 or 7 years of hearing those conversations, especially in Hollywood, I think that might be something that kind of puts people off a little bit to voting for The Social Network as Best Picture, because it does the same thing I'm sorry for comparing The Social Network to Crash, because I think it's a much better film. But as far as being a movie of our generation and of our time and all that stuff, I think people might not want to make that same judgment again now, because in hindsight, years later, they don't want to have, you know, the same kind of conversations again about, oh, you just voted for that because it was the movie of the moment and all that stuff. So I think Jim is probably pretty spot on with his pick with the King's Speech, because I think, as Mazer said, if you're going to manufacture a movie that's going to win Oscars, it's going to be the King's Speech. But I'm just personally, like Venkman, hoping for the upset with Black Swan.
Now, I think Aaron Sorkin's script's a lock-in for the adapted screenplay for The Social Network.
Yeah, I'd probably say if it's not, that film does need a nod to that script. I think it deserves it for sure.
Yeah, definitely. What do you guys think about Best Animated Feature? Is it Toy Story?
Yeah.
Toy Story's taking it. Yeah, Toy Story's gonna take it.
Really wish it was How to Train Your Dragon.
I know, me too. Yeah. I'm just,
why?
As much as I love Toy Story 3, I'm just one of those. I think everyone's just getting, I've said this before, I think everyone's just getting all like built up and emotional that it's the last one, and you know, that they grew up on this movie and it was.
But you're calling movie geeks nostalgic?
Yes, exactly.
How dare you, sir?
Well, I'm nostalgic too, and I loved it, but I went back and watched Toy Story 1 and 2 and thought that they were better movies than 3,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I'm like looking at it and I'm like, you know?
Yeah.
As much as I love Toy Story, I still – How to Train Your Dragon was a better film.
How to Train Your Dragon was one of the most exhilarating theatrical experiences that I had in all of 2010.
Yes. I hope it wins. I hope the Academy realizes that and says, you know what, Pixar, you made a great film, but How to Train Your Dragon was just better this year, guys. Sorry.
We'll see.
We will see. Just real quick, I want to touch on the documentary because we all know Exit Through the Gift Shop is going to win.
We hope.
I don't see why it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Have you seen the other films in for documentary?
I saw Restrepo. Depressing as hell. And I did see Inside Job. And I saw half of Inside Job, actually. I didn't finish watching it. It wasn't really, didn't really grab me. I saw three out of the five, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think Waiting for Superman should have been nominated, but
I'm surprised it wasn't. It was a good film. I think Exit Through the Gift Shop's going to take it.
Yeah.
And just trying to figure out if who's going to come up and accept that award, if anyone.
Forgive me for barging in here for a second. This blew my mind when I read this yesterday. The LA Times had this big profile about Exit Through the Gift Shop, and there's a theory out there that I've never heard of until yesterday that says that Mr. Brainwash is Banksy. Have you guys heard this theory?
I've looked into it. They came out and LA Weekly did an interview with Mr. Brainwash this week, and it's the first interview that he's given since the movie was released,
mm-hmm.
because he hasn't said a damn thing since it was released last year. We haven't heard anything from him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he comes out and he's talking. He's like, look, it's 100% legit. You know, this is how it all went down. He explained everything. And he's like, he helped me get my start. He told me to go do this. I did it. And this is, you know, my life changed because of it. So, mm-hmm. so yeah, that theory was rolling around for, you know, since it premiered at Sundance last year. So
that's just like, that really blew my mind. I was like, that adds a whole nother level of brilliance to Exit Through the Gift Shop if that's actually true. And I don't know if we'll ever be able to confirm that that's true or not, but just the concept of Mr. Brainwash, like, coming up with a, like, essentially a body double with the dark face thing and doing the kind of interviews as Banksy, like, depicting that in Exit Through the Gift Shop as a totally different person, like, I don't know, for something so simple, like, I just believed that was Banksy, but that seems like something that Banksy would do, you know, is go through that extra trouble to just our expectations and kind of push us away from the truth a little bit more. And for Mr. Brainwash to kind of present himself so out there in the open like that and actually be Banksy, I was like, man, that, like, I was giddy all day yesterday just thinking about the possibilities of that. I just thought it was so ridiculous.
Yeah, and everything that I've read on it, I everything kind of steers to the fact that it is actually the way it's portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you never really know.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But I'd like to think that's how it played out.
Yeah.
But even if it didn't, I think I'd still be a little excited that everyone got fooled.
Yeah, totally. Know? And it actually wouldn't surprise me if Mr. Brainwash accepted the Oscar for best documentary if Exit Through the Gift Shop was to win.
That would be really interesting if that's how it played out.
Yeah,
Banksy requested. He asked the Academy. if he could come in disguise. They said we'd prefer it if you not, but then today the Academy, one of the Academy executives came out and said that if he wants to show up in a costume, he can show up. We're not going to stop him. We're not going to say he can't come to the Oscars.
Yeah.
We prefer it if he didn't, but if he did, that's just how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do anything to prevent him from doing what he feels he needs to do. So that's who he is. I'm hoping he shows up. It would be really interesting if he did. I don't want him to reveal his identity. That's the whole, thing about – I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I like the whole mystery behind this guy because it's awesome.
Or these people.
Mm-hmm. Especially in this time, day and age with the internet and how everything just can be leaked out, how this guy has been able to keep his identity hidden is incredible. And I would love him to just keep it up. I think it's awesome that he's been able to keep his identity a secret this long, and I hope he can still do it. So,
totally.
So I hope it wins. I'm sure it will. It is out of the ones I've seen, it's the best documentary. So, in my opinion, and I think the Academy is gonna jump on it too, just to see if Banksy will come in and. Snatch it up in some way. I don't know. So,
nice. We'll see.
Anyway, that's it. Does anybody want to talk about any of the other nominations? Everything else is just kind of like pretty whatever.
I think we covered it pretty well. And like we said before we started recording, if next time we come back and record a podcast, the winners will have been announced. So if we have any big contention with anything that actually won, then we can kind of gripe about it then.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited to see how this all plays out. So other than that, does anybody have anything else to say about the Oscars or anything?
No, I think that's it.
All right. So I guess everybody's going to have their Oscar parties this year. It's going to be a fun time. Money, people betting. Is anybody betting doing Vegas bets for the Oscars? I've been thinking about it, but I'm not going to because I don't have any money.
Well, yeah, I don't think the odds would necessarily be in your favor, but just because – stuff is it's not there's there aren't enough margins.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to, but not this year.
Throw all of it on Black Swan upsetting and see what happens.
There you go.
Yeah, maybe if it's like some 14-1 or 30-1, something like that, might be worth just putting something down.
Sounds good. Other than that, what do we got coming out this weekend? We've got the Farrelly Brother comedy Hall Pass coming out. That last Red Band trailer kind of sold me on it. Looks like a Farrelly Brother movie. Mm-hmm. So I hope it's funny.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be funny.
I hope so.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, because the first couple trailers, I was kind of like, this doesn't seem like a Farrelly Brother movie.
Yeah, I did not know it was until you just said it, so.
See, there you go. It wasn't until I saw that Red Band trailer, I was like, okay, this looks like a movie that they had put together. But we'll see. Hopefully it's good. And then we've got Drive Angry 3D with Nicolas Cage, which... I don't think I'm going to go see.
No, the stuff that we saw from it at Comic-Con last year just looked dreadful. So,
well, everything we've seen since just looks dreadful. I don't know how these movies get made, but they do. And people will see it.
Yep, because it was shot in 3D.
3D! Yeah! Anyway, Hall Pass is my pick of the week. Yep. So. There you go. Other than that, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes if you haven't already. Leave us a review. and let us know if you have any suggestions or anything. You can always fan us on Facebook at facebook.com/geektyrantfans. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/geektyrant. You can donate to help keep us moving forward and doing our thing at geektyrant.com/donate. Or to, if you want to support us as well, you can always buy a t-shirt at geektyrant.me. We've got some Geek Tyrant t-shirts up for sale and a few other little items worth checking out. Again, that's at geektyrant.me. And if you have any suggestions for the site, for the podcast, or any tips or anything you want us to check out, look at, email us it. You can email us at geektyrant@gmail.com. And
we also have individual email addresses now.
We do have individual emails now. So if you go to the roster page, I think we're all on there.
Yeah, those that have opted in.
Yeah, if you want to email us individually, go ahead. Other than that, does anybody else have anything they want to say to our audience?
No, sir.
No? No, really? No one has anything to say? That's it?
I mean, you guys can check out the other podcast that I do if we're looking.
Yeah, man.
Okay, all right.
Sell it, dude.
I didn't know if you were fishing for that or what, but yeah, it's called the Not Just New Movies podcast. You can find it on geektyrant.com. Just click on the podcast link there on the right side of the page. You can also find it in iTunes or at notjustnewmovies.com.
There you go. Awesome. Anyway, I think that's it. So everybody say goodbye to our lovely fans.
Bye. Happy Oscars.
Yeah, happy Oscar weekend. Enjoy. Enjoy them.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Goodbye, everybody.